Freedom Through Grace, Bible Study Lesson Number 21, July 7th, 2012. Freedom is an issue that we need to understand. Freedom is an issue that begins in the soul. What do you think? What do you believe? Jesus Christ said to those that believed upon him, you shall know the truth. You continue. Continue what? Continue in following Christ. Following Christ is a day by day act, and then you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Think about it. How many times have I given you that verse? Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. The issue is continuing in the word of God. Continuing in faith in Christ. Then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. God has made us individual people. We have volition to decide each day what we're going to do. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Day by day, moment by moment, we must choose whether we're going to walk in the things of the Lord or walk in our own way, our own desires, our own thoughts. Shall we pray? Make sure you're filled with the Spirit. You don't want to confess sins this time. Followed by my opening prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word. For your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise. Your word will not return void, will accomplish that which you designed it for. I ask you to sanctify it and bless it. In the name of our Lord and of our Savior, Jesus Christ, whose name we pray, saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Benson Godfrey Burns, Fort Laurel, Maryland. We should say the Fort Laurel of Freedom. The poems that he wrote, Freedom on America. Teach history through poetry. Wrote a poem called Peter Zenger Wins Freedom of the Press. He dates it New York City, 1733. That was a time when Peter Zenger was in his battle. Most of you probably never heard of Peter Zenger. I remember studying him in school in history class, but they don't teach a lot of history anymore. Fought the first great battle in America, freedom of the press. For freedoms we enjoy today, our early heroes had to pay in pain and suffering and abuse and constant danger of the noose. Colonial justice gave no heed to simple folks in dire need, nor did it give the right to speak against the rich to save the weak. But in New York, a stubborn man named Peter Zenger had a plan to check these tyrants hard as flint by boldly speaking out in print. Civic righteousness was his theme. He scorned the city's corrupt regime and called the culprits all by name and fearlessly exposed their shame. His paper traveled far and wide and roused the colonial countryside. This typographical elocution was groundwork for the revolution. The British governor had a fit. He did not like such things a bit. To punish Zenger and gain redress, he hired rogues to smash his press. He cautioned Zenger to be quiet or go to prison for crime and rot. But Zenger boldly stood his ground and would not by such threats be bound. He fixed his press and once again defied the dungeon's prison chain, and this pompous prince of perdition arrested Zenger for sedition. The black robe judges in a row heard Zenger's case with sniff and show that have hanged him in their fury had there not there been a people's jury. The governor fought to have his way. The trial dragged on from day to day, but when all witnesses were heard, not guilty was the final word. This fearless man was purged of crime to win a victory sublime. His courage had done nothing less than win our freedom of the press. Salute the memory of Peter Zenger, American patriot, whose battle in New York City in 1733, you must remember, was 43 years before the Declaration of Independence was written. And the First Amendment includes the right to freedom of press was not passed. The Continental Congress had given way to the First Constitutional Congress. Father, have mercy upon each one of us. We pray, and we pray for America. We pray for freedom. Freedom that will lead opportunities to have revival in our country before it's too late. In Christ's name, amen. The Father placed Adam in the Garden of Eden under the law of individuality, which is the law of personal freedom. He gave Adam volition. Volition is the first facet of the law of individuality, and it is directly related to the Father's will as manifested through the choices that the Father gave to Adam in Genesis 2:7 through 3:6. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Living being, the New American Standard translates. Man's body having been formed from the particles of the earth, but God, Nashamad, breathed into him the breath of lives, biological life into the human body, psychological life into the human soul. Spiritual life in the human spirit. Father's plan was perfect. Adam was not created a baby or a primitive savage, but a full-grown man, perfect in intellect and knowledge. Else he could not have named the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air. The fact that his descendants had such skill in the invention of musical instruments and mechanical devices and could build cities and towers in such a vessel as the ark proves that the men of the Antediluvian days, times, were men of gigantic intellect, tameless, and that instead of man having evolved upwards, he has degenerated downward. Volition is the first facet into the law of individuality and is directly related to the Father's will, then. The Father's will consists of his directive will, what he wants us to do. He said to Adam, verse 16, the Lord commanded Adam, saying, from any tree of the garden you may freely. This was his optional will. His optional will is the non-essential choices he leaves to us. Verse 17, he said, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not, for the day that you eat of it, that you shall surely die. This was his directive will. The fact that Adam was allowed to eat of the tree and sin, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was good light to the eyes, that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from the fruit of it and ate and gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Eve was with Adam in the garden. Or Adam was with Eve, as you see, in the garden in front of the tree when she was there and took the fruit and eat it. And you go looking for him. He was with her, the Bible says. Timothy tells us that he ate knowingly. They've took his lesson and violated the directive will of God, knowing exactly what he was doing when he did it. 1 Timothy 2:13. It was Adam who was created first, created in Eve. It was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into the transgression. So we have the directive will of God, the operational will of God, the permissive will of God. The permissive will is what he never approves, and yet he allows us to do in regard to sin and evil. His permissive will is sometimes limited by his overruling will to prevent us becoming too involved in sin. Before Adam could go very far into sin, Jesus Christ appeared to him, God, the person of God, the Son, who is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in the garden. Genesis 3:8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called the man and said to him, "Where are you?" We put that with Psalm 76:10. And see the overruling will of God. And then the judgments and limitations that he put upon Satan. Or I should say the serpent. That served Satan upon Adam and Eve. Psalm 76:10 says, "With the wrath of man shall praise you, with the remainder of wrath you shall gird yourself." Adam was given the privilege of selecting for himself the physical food he would eat on each day, any given day, and this was a part of the Father's operational will, optional will, I'm sorry, that's Genesis 2:16, which we read. Adam was forbidden to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and this was a part of the Father's directive will. Genesis 2:8 says, "The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he formed." Verse 17, "From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And Hebrews says, "Dying, thou shalt surely die." The fact that the Father allowed Adam to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil demonstrates the Father's permissive will, that we just saw Genesis 3:6. This is volition. Volition, the second part of the law of individuality, is responsibility. Responsibility is the second facet of the law of individuality. It means that we have a duty to make good decisions that are consistent with the Father's will. God the Son, who was the one who appeared to Adam in the garden, as we've seen, and walked with him, informed Adam that if he ate of the forbidden fruit, he would suffer spiritual death. Eventually, he would suffer physical death. That's what it means in Hebrew, verse 17, "From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, dying, thou shalt surely die." Spiritually, you will die immediately. Eventually, you will have physical death. It came 930 years later. Next, we have property rights. Property rights is the third facet of the law of individuality, and it means that when it makes responsible, we make a responsible decision, we reap the benefits that come through property rights. Adam was given conditional residency in the Garden of Eden, which represents real estate. "Lord God formed man of the dust from ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Lord God formed a garden toward the east of Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed." Verse 15. "The Lord God then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it." Property rights, I repeat, is the third facet of the law of individuality. That means that when we make responsible good decisions, we're to reap the benefits that come through property rights. Adam was given conditional residency in the Garden of Eden, which represents real estate. Real estate was first introduced here. Something that people had the right to have. land, property rights. Now, we live in a world where we're losing our property rights. God has taken away many of our freedoms by simply permitting our governmental system to change this nation in which we live. The Mecklenburg Declaration of Independence was issued on April, it was listed in 1775. On April 30, 1819, the Raleigh, North Carolina Register published the Mecklenburg Declaration of Independence. Historically, it was believed to have been adopted by the Committee of Mecklenburg County, North Carolina, on May 20, 1775. The day after receipt of the news of the Battle of Lexington. People have pointed out the similarity of some of the phrases to phrases of the Declaration of Independence have always raised questions as to plagiarism on Jefferson's part, or on the other hand, as to the authenticity of the Mecklenburg document. Many claim that Jefferson never heard of it before 1819, and this cannot be proven one way or the other. Many people believe that it was that this Mecklenburg Declaration of Independence is simply a compilation on the part of general recollections of certain resolutions, to the extent which were drawn by the Committee of Mecklenburg May 31st, 1775. But we know that Jefferson had the Virginia Bill of Rights in front of him when he wrote the Declaration of Independence, put together by George Mason. The authenticity of the Mecklenburg Declaration of Independence had been debated now since 1819. But I do not doubt that it or some very close form of it was passed just exactly as it was said by those independent people in North Carolina. It reads, resolved that whosoever directly or indirectly abetted or in any way, form, or manner countenanced the chartered and dangerous invasion of our rights as claimed by Great Britain as an enemy of the country to America and to the inherent and inalienable rights of man. Resolved that we are the citizens of Mecklenburg County do hereby dissolve the political bands which have connected us to the mother country. Hereby absolve ourselves from all allegiance to the British Crown, abjure all political connections, contract, or association with that nation who have wantonly trampled on our rights and liberties and humanly shed the innocent blood of American troops in Lexington. That we do hereby declare ourselves a free and independent people. Our right of a right ought to be a sovereign and self-governing association under the control of no power other than that of our God, the general government of the Congress, the maintenance of which independence we solemnly pledge to each other, our mutual cooperation, our lives, our fortunes, and our most sacred honor. Resolve that we are now acknowledged the existence and control of no law or legal officer, civil or military, within the county, who do hereby obtain and adopt as a rule of life all each and every of our former laws, which nevertheless the Crown of Great Britain never can be considered as holding rights, privileges, immunities, or authorities therein. Resolve, it is further decreed that all each and every military officer in the country is hereby reinstated to his former command and authority, acted comfortable as regulated, and that every member present in this delegation shall henceforth be a civil officer of his justice, the peace, and the character of a committeeman. Issue process here determine all matters of controversy according to said adopted laws to preserve peace and union and harmony in the said county. Use every exertion to spread the love of country and fire freedom throughout America till a more general organized government be established in this province. Freedom. When Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence, he wrote the words, when the course of human events becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth, each is the separate and equal statue to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, may the decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separate. We hold these truths up here, evident that all men are created equal, they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. He changed the words Mason put in the Virginia Declaration for life, liberty, property rights. A tragic thing that he did. Because people have misunderstood what God intended. You can, if you're going to be responsible for yourself, then you have the right to benefit from that in the temporal world. It was set down by Adam. But this is not some inherent thing that you just simply sap society with nothing to do. Adam was given responsibility of working to maintain the property he was given in the garden. Verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it. That means to work it. To keep it. That means to guard it. The Hebrew word shamar means to guard. He was to eat of the fruit, except the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But this would include his freedom to eat of the tree of life. He was given the duty of naming animals. The animals were placed underneath him. Principal Adam was introduced to the work ethic prior to his sin and God's judgment of sin and throughout work. Then therefore work in and of itself was designed for the benefit of the Adamic human race. Work is not evil. The toil of work comes out of sin. The tiredness for it. My wife gets very tired these days. She's working long hours, even though she's beautiful. Responsibility. She has a little time for other things. They've been working 6 days a week primarily. It wears her down, provides her with medical benefits that she needs. All of her medical problems will be on anything she would have if she didn't. But she gets tired. She gets tired here at the house. We get tired. I get tired. Things I used to. The days that I have to go to town and take care of mission and personal responsibilities and do things, when I get home, I'm often exhausted. Where I used to could go and go and go. Well, the age catches up with us. We slow down. This is a part of the curse that came where Adam was told in Genesis 3:19, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The work ethic was there for Adam, though. All scripture was given to us for doctrinal teaching, and therefore we need to carefully examine and seek to find the meaning of all scripture. 2 Timothy 2:15 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study shows us approved unto God, a word we need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study means to be studious, eager to show ourselves approved unto God. We need to rightly divide the word of truth. The word of truth is the Holy Bible. Genesis 2 Timothy 3:16. Sorry, I get my tongue twisted this morning. My apology. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means Theonoustos, God breathed. The Holy Spirit was there, verbal and very inspiration of scripture. All scripture was given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrinal teaching. It's the corrected way it should read. Reproof for correction, for instruction, righteousness, the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God has given us the Word of God. We need to understand these things. Freedom is lined up in the Word of God, so we need to understand the principles of freedom. Deuteronomy 29:29. How many times have some of you heard this verse given to you? The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe the words of this law. Dr. Charles Ryrie says this important verse sets the limits and purpose of God's revelation. Some things he chooses to keep to himself, but what he has revealed through the law, in this instance, is the business of his children to obey. We need to study to understand and to obey the things of God. At the judgment seat of Christ, every believer will be held accountable for his commitment to study, learn, believe, and apply Bible doctrine. Matthew 4:4, the Lord Jesus Christ confronted by Satan in the wilderness did not try to answer the devil on the basis of human viewpoint, of philosophy, of secular knowledge. He answered him on the basis of scripture and scripture alone. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, Matthew 4:1. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, and if it was true he knew he was the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This is also pointed out in Luke 4:1-4. Scripture is what we must understand and defend in what we're doing. Genesis 2 introduced Adam not only to the value of real estate, but to a variety of things of historical economic value, as we point out to you a number of times. These items illustrate material world values, but God left Adam the freedom to seek to find their value and make use of it. Adam had to develop for himself, for his children, and his children's children, the values that were set down and what God has given. James 1:17 said, Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God put all these wonderful things out here for us. No, there was no accidental big bang, and it was no accidental creation where something suddenly came out of that, some primordial began to develop, exploded, came apart, or whatever, or some little particle and things from within it. The particles are there, they're there because God put them there. God designed all creation, and God made it come into existence. But we have to believe it. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, and they that come to Him must believe that He is. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We are commanded to study the Word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, that we just quoted to you. Paul declared in Acts 20:27, For I have not shunned, I have not failed to declare unto you all that is the whole counsel of God. We must take the value systems that they have. In Genesis 2:12, Adam was introduced to gold, which typified all precious metals. Delium, which typified plant saps, and the onyx stone, which typified all precious gems. Genesis 2:12. The gold of that land is good. The delium and the onyx stone are there. Adam was introduced to agricultural products. Genesis 2:9. Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that's pleasing in sight, good for food, tree of life also in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 16. The Lord God commanded man, saying, Any tree of the garden you may eat freely. Adam was introduced to one river, which flows into four rivers, or out of which flowed four rivers. Got my tongue twisted, I'm sorry. And this means he was introduced to the value of water. Genesis 2. Verse 10. Now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four rivers. Water is essential to all human life, as well as zoological, ornithological, ichthyology, and botanical life, and river water has been used by all of these forms of life. But now you know zoological is a technical term for animal life, ornithological for bird life, ichthyological for sea life, botanical for plant life. God made each one separate and different. We need to be technical about them. We shouldn't just call everything life. Life is different. Each one of them, God made it different. Rivers are of great historical value, though. They provide a defensive barrier for villages and cities, as well as a water highway for travel, a source of energy, provide water for irrigation of crops, and water for human and livestock consumption. So water rights was introduced, the principle of water rights. Many wars have been fought throughout history over water rights. How many times have you seen possibly some old cowboy movie, western movie? Ranchers sitting on the water, some little homesteaders sitting on a spring somewhere, pure water or a river type thing. They want, and somebody else wants the water. A big landowner's trying to hold on, the cattleman's trying to hold on to everything. The little guy's trying to take it away from him. So we see the value of these things, precious metals. Gold is a standard. Gold is the legitimate standard that God set as the ultimate standard for human intrinsic value wealth, as the money and the medium of exchange. Why this gold first? Gold is typified there, not only gold itself, but silver would be included. Try to stand for truth. It's found in the Word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. I met people who say they never lied. Well, I know the minute they said that, they lied. It might have been a little white lie. Mommy, Mrs. Brown's on the phone. Tell Mrs. Brown that Mommy's not here. Tell Mrs. Brown that Mommy, you can't find Mommy, whatever it is. They're pulling what we call white lies. But the truth stands that God is an absolute. That's why we're warned about judging each other, condemning each other. Judge not that you be not judged. Because why? As Jesus Christ said when they brought the woman taken in adultery, that he that's without sin cast the first stone. That he that's without sin cast the first stone. Our economic base in America has been destroyed. Our country's in great debt. Individual believers are in debt. We continue to hand out money all over the world, trying to buy freedom for other people, while at the same time, we make it harder and harder to sustain the great prosperity of middle-class America. God gave to the United States of America an opportunity to show the world middle-class standard of living. No one ever matched it like we had. In the 50s, when the baby boomer generation hit the 60s, they decided that they wanted to rout against what we had in America, against the value systems that we had. They were wrong in America. There were sins in America. There were failures in America. But these people raised literally in an easy way of living. Turn their back upon the standards upon which this country was founded. Turn their back upon God, having been put through the governmental school systems, the public school systems, where God was being taken out of it. I find I can't even talk to people about the Bible today, young people, or even older baby boomers. They can't even talk to them. I bring up the Bible and they aren't interested. Why? Because they sat in schools and heard it attacked by humanist teachers. But God has set standards. Adam was given the authority over all the birds, fish, and animals that God had created, Genesis 2:26. Well, first, Genesis 1:25. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Man was to subdue the earth. Of course, the earth was coming from the reconstruction area that God had done after the original sin, written rebellion of Lucifer and his followers, the devil and his angels. During the dispensation of the spirit beings or the angelic creatures prior to the creation of Adam and man upon the earth, the original rebellion described in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. Subdue the earth, rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Man was given authority over the animals, not the animals over man. Romans 1 teaches that man has elevated the animals and worships the animals greater than they worship the Creator himself. In Genesis 2, we're told that verse 19, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he could call them. Whatever the man called a living creature, that was the name. Adam named the animals. Adam was given the authority to name the animals, and this was not only demonstrated, he was created with the ability to speak and think. It also demonstrated his authority over the animal world. Adam was given authority over the animal world. Verse 20, the man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds and to the sky and every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. Accountability now becomes the fourth facet law of individuality. We've got volition, responsibility. We've got privacy. Adam was placed in the garden. Adam was placed in the garden with privacy. There was no one with him in the garden at all. At this point of time, Eve was brought forth out of Adam later. We do not know how long. I've told you my opinion was it was a long time. By the way, I just realized I left out the privacy concept. Privacy is the third of them. I apologize. Volition is the first facet of the law of individuality. Responsibility is the second facet. Privacy is the third facet. He was placed alone in the garden. He was created alone. The soul, our mind, our conscious, everything is within us. We're separate. God has made us for the privacy. I cannot read the thoughts that go on in your mind. I cannot read them. I know that you have a human soul, and inside your human soul, you have, first of all, conscious. You are conscious of all things. You're conscious of yourself. You're conscious of things going on. We have within the soul, within the right bank of the soul, we have self-consciousness. We have memory of past things. We have the ability to understand present reality. And we have imagination to look forward and anticipate future events. We have a frame of reference that we develop that relates us to what goes on around us in the world because we have the ability to reason. Volition allows us to make decisions. We have affections. Storgos is a Greek word for natural affection for our parents, for our siblings. A natural concept. The Greeks have more words for love than we do. Storgos is natural affection. Soul has affections. It also has emotions. Emotions, affections is how we reach out to others from our own feelings, our own thoughts, our own standards, in a natural way. Emotions is how we respond to what goes on around us in the world that we're in. God made us Trinity, body, soul, and spirit. When Adam fell, everyone spiritually died. Once we believe in Christ, we become spiritually alive again. We have a living human spirit. Just as the facets of the body consist of sight, which is eye gate, smell, which is nose gate, hearing, which is ear gate, taste, which is mouth gate, and touch, which is feel gate. Just as we have the natural facets of the soul, we have conscious mentality, self-consciousness, volition, affections, emotions. We have the facets of the spirit, which consists of faith. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4, Galatians 3:21, Hebrews 10:38. We have hope, Colossians 1:27. We'd have another facet of retro fear, Psalm 5:7, 19:9. prayer, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 compared to Psalm 66:18. Worship Psalm 95:6, Matthew 4:10, Deuteronomy 6:13 and 10:20. And the Father's rest. Hebrews 4:6-10, Psalm 91:1-16. These are the facets of the Spirit. We have to develop out the ability to use these facets and do what we're doing. Adam was built, created an adult, able to think, to function, to act. But he was given privacy. He was given responsibility. Then the fifth facet is accountability. Accountability is the fifth facet of the law of individuality. It means that Adam had to accept responsibility for the decisions that he made. This is illustrated by the fact that Adam was given only one mandate that could result in his loss of his prince regency over the planet Earth and all that came with it. He was told that he was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat thereof, dying thou shalt surely die. Genesis 2:17, corrected translation. Adam's creator God gave him no direct mandates to worship and serve him. You'll notice that. There's no direct mandate to worship and serve God given to Adam in the garden. But God was prepared to accept all that Adam's worship and service as long as Adam did not violate this one simple mandate. God was there to take from Adam. Can you imagine Adam, when Adam woke up alive, became alive, and standing up on the face of this earth and looked around and beheld the wonders around him? He had an intelligence, the highest IQ anyone had ever been with, until Jesus Christ came, the second Adam, because he was a type of Christ. He had no sin within him, but he had no experiential knowledge. He had to be taught, and his teacher was God the Son walking with him. He looked out and he saw the fantastic beauties of this thing. Just think, the first thing Adam ever saw was his creator God standing before him in a theophany appearance and looking at him and saying to him, undoubtedly, I am your God. I created you. You are alive. You are man. You are Adam. Taking him through and showing him, and Adam picking an apple off a tree or a peach off a tree or a pear or a tomato or something and eating it and tasting it. Drinking of the cool spring water. Tasty, delicious, unpolluted water. Not heavy well water. All water coming out of the ground has a different taste to it. Well water comes up from the ground, according to the minerals and things they got in there. Some of it is much heavier than the water at any point. That's why in the Midwest and parts of the South and all you see water softeners in so many homes these days. I remember drinking well water. But down the road was a spring. Fresh water. Tasted different, bubbling up. Then there was the cistern. Cistern that had been built. Bricks laid down and all. Cover went and cooked the rainwater. The days before our air was so polluted. Cool, clear water coming, it can taste so good. And Adam tasted pure water, unpolluted. Fruits and vegetables. See the beauty of the rose, the beauty of the orchid. If only I could see it, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament anywhere. How do you think Adam felt his first night when he looked up and saw the stars? He couldn't see all the starry skies the way we do because of the cloud cover that God put the heavy atmosphere over, but he could see something. He'd see the sun and the moon through them. He knew what was up there. Heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament is anywhere. Adam could see so many things. Adam was led by God. A canopy of water up there that kept filtered down the sunlight and kept all the temperature probably around 70 degrees at all time. Mild, perfect temperature. Adam was never too hot and Adam was never too cold as we are. The eastern United States has been burning up. We've been on a cooler trend over here. It gets down to 40s at night. But today we're supposed to be back up the last yesterday in the 80s, and again today, or at 80 today, even higher. We're beginning to get the warm weather out here. But God has provided so much and so wonderful, and he got to see it. What do you think he felt when he saw the first beautiful, slick-looking horse? Beautiful dogs. Cats. Cattle. Sheep. Goats. Squirrels. Rabbits. The possum. God brought every animal there to him. Adam saw every species of animal that existed prior to the flood, before they developed on out down in the subspecies. We don't know how far down, where Adam saw all the original species of animals God placed upon this earth. Adam looked at them and named them. He thought, he reasoned within himself. Before he named them, I'm sure he studied each one. He observed them. I'm sure that God the Son taught him something about them. See, the Bible is not a total history of everything that happened with Adam by any means. How could it be? The wonders of it all. This is why I don't doubt that Adam was on the earth for a long period of time alone and passed the law of individuality. He never ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He was here, learning the wonders that God had for him. And we can't even begin to enter into the concept. Now, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not some magical fruit that produced sin. The source of Adam's original sin was his volition, decision to disobey God, and he reaped the consequence of this decision in Genesis 2:17, with 3:1-6. 1 Timothy 2:13 and 14, compared to Galatians 6:7 and 8 and Romans 2:6. In Genesis 2:17, he was told by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. The law of accountability, Genesis 3:1-6. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from the tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, the fruit of the tree is the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it, nor touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you shall surely not die. He called God a liar. For God knows in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and now this birds or something, or squirrels or something, were eating out of it, it was a delight to look at the eyes. She'd already figured out, she's sitting there staring at it, I believe. Her back propped to the tree alive, looking at the forbidden fruit tree and wondering why. The tree was desirable to make one wise. She took from its fruit and ate, and she gave it unto her husband, and he ate, and their eyes both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves loin coverings. 1 Timothy 2:13 and 14. For it was Adam who was first created, and then Eve, and it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell in the transgression. Galatians 6:7-8, the law of accountability. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that's what he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows from the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Romans chapter 2, verse 6. Who rendered each person according to his deeds. Adam reaped what he sowed. Genesis 3:8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and man and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Sin separates us from God. Sin causes us to try to hide from God. Repentance, turning back to God, seeking God. Change of mental attitude, we need God, is the difference. Lord God called the man and said to him, notice God sought Adam. Adam didn't see God. Adam hid from God. Where are you? He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. We get a lot out of the first part of this verse. Notice what he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden. Adam had knew the sound of God in the garden. How often probably had Adam thrill to look and seek God every day? How long before my Lord will be here to walk with me, to teach me some more? Well, Adam was busy doing the things he needed to do in the garden. Adam, who was alone, probably for 1,000 years, because a day is like unto 1,000 years, 1,000 years is like unto a day, and pass that thing each day walking with God. This is the day the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Each day was a new day. Adam explored everything. I think Adam studied all the trees. I think he knew the difference between the pine tree, the popular tree, the oak tree, the palm tree, whatever was there, all the trees and things he had in this beautiful garden, the peaches, the fruit trees, peaches, plums, apples, etc. Adam walked and looked and studied and learned. Adam was a genius. Because God made him that way, as the one who would name the animals, the one who would do all these things. But yet Adam, when sin came in, he made leaves to cover their genitals and then went and hid themselves. Verse 11, he said, he said to him, I heard the sound of your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave me gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate. The Lord God said, the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Adam blamed the woman, the woman blamed the serpent. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly shall you go, and the dust shall you eat all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. The woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children, and your desire shall be for your husband, that he shall rule over you. To Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. This is not only the sweat of physical work, but the sweat of brain work as well. Because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The woman was condemned to suffer in childbirth. Her desire as insatiable need, the deep attraction to her husband, to compensate for the sorrow of the childbirth. That means her desire was to be ruled. She needs someone to rule over. We have the independent woman. The woman doesn't want to accept what God had for her. It doesn't mean she's a servant or a lower person. God gives us different rank and responsibility of things. The woman finds her satisfaction when she submits to the authority of her husband, and the husband finds his responsibilities and things when he walks with her and helps her and encourages her and takes care of her, supplies for her, satisfies her soul. The ruling over is simply the authority chain within the marriage. The man was created first. Doesn't mean he's to be a tyrant at all. Man is condemned to exhaust in labor in order to make a living. Because of the curse of the ground, Adam had worked before the curse. he works after the curse, but now it's a grudgingly hard thing to do. Man is reaping what he has sown. We built up in the United States of America the highest standard of living the world has ever seen, for even for much of our poorest people. Electricity. All the conveniences that came with it. I remember on television in the 50s, they would advertise things that were coming in the future, what it was going to be like when the wife wasn't going to have to work so hard, the mother in the home, and this, that, and the other things, all the conveniences of things. We got the vacuum cleaner to make our homes healthier, less dust and dirt, washing machines and dryers, dishwashers. All kinds of things to make life better. But we didn't appreciate them. Next generation took them for granted. Now we have a generation that is so hung up on materialistic things they can't get enough of them. On the other side, the small group that rebels is anarchists and don't want anything of it. It's interesting that the anarchists in these riots and demonstrations we see on TV in this country all have their cell phones. I remember life without telephones. Telephones have been invented, but we're not everywhere around by any means. Life, when you went down, now they were outlawing bags again. City of Seattle's one of the lowest list of things. You'll have to pay for paper bags. They're not going to give you plastic bags anymore. They've been outlawed as of July 1st. In the name of the environment and stuff like that. I remember when people wrapped. Went to the fish. If you went to a fish market, people wrap fish in old newspaper. Didn't worry about the print getting on it. They wrapped the fish in the old newspaper. Butcher paper type paper hung down from rows. You go to the bakery and had a fresh bakery down there for bread. They'd pull, take the load of bread, pull wrapping paper off, pop the wrapping paper around a loaf of bread and sell it to you. To carry it home with. We're trying to outlaw all the conveniences and things that were there while getting all the technology and stuff of what we're going. We're living in an amazing world. A world where reason and common sense has disappeared. God, every good gift and every perfect gift coming down above from the Father of lights in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We have to learn that God gives us good things, but we abuse it. Man is ever learning, but never coming to a knowledge of truth. Scripture makes this clear to us. We need to get our eyes on Jesus and know what we're doing and where we're at down there. All right, the first law of divine establishment for temporal living in the material world is the law of creation. The second is the law of the body, the biological life. What God has for man and the body of what he has. The next is codex, biological human life is psychological human life. God's system for the function of the human soul is biological human life is God's system order for the function of the physical body. Creation law is the basis for the Father's system for function order throughout the universe. It relates to animate and inanimate objects and consists of all natural scientific law, as we've seen. Codex 4, the law of individuality, where biological and psychological life are brought together in the human soul. Individuality consisting of volition plus privacy plus responsibility plus property rights plus accountability is God's system of personal freedom for each individual member of the dynamic human race, both believers and unbelievers. The fifth codex, which we'll look at in the next class, is the codex of marriage. One man and one woman is God's basic system to provide societal order and stability for the procreation of the human race. Marriage is the concept that God has designed between one man and one woman. Adam was allowed to name all the animals, but he found no helpmate for him. And he was given a wife. The first pair were happy in their sweet companionship, and doubtless believed that it would last forever. They knew nothing of the ruins of the primeval earth beneath them, now covered with the Edenic verdure of the renewed earth. Neither did they know that the heavens from above swarm with the fallen beings of the fallen angelic world under the leadership of Satan the devil. Their happiness was to end in a fall that would necessitate their expulsion from the Garden of Delights, and that sooner or later they should taste of physical death. Now, find ourselves looking at an interesting situation here. Marriage. We'll pick up in the next class. Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. Again, we claim your promise, your word will not return void, will accomplish all that you design it for. We ask you to sanctify and to bless it. In the name of our Lord and of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray, even so come, Lord Jesus.